I'd like to thank my colleagues in the Trues Party for all their good work. I will be stepping down as head of the Trues. No, I won't, because I'm just a comedian. I'm not even electable or nothing. I'm just a bloke with a laptop and a bit of mouth. Hello, welcome to the Trues. Bloody hell, what's happened? So, Nick Clegg's resigned, Miliband's resigned, Nigel Farage has resigned, we're a conservative country now. Obviously, we got really into it. What I feel like from a personal perspective is, like, when we interviewed Miliband, we thought, oh my God, we can probably influence the outcome of an election. And now I think, you can't influence the outcome of an election. I'll tell you what I think got me into that position mentally. It's just, like, when I done that interview for Paxman, I goes, I don't vote, I think voting's pointless. I sort of become a de facto spokesman for people who don't vote. But it wasn't really that, it's just I was feeling the same things they feel. It's not like I was the leader of the Don't Vote Party, I was just another member of the Don't Vote Party. It's not like I had any authority or power. I think for a moment, I got caught up in some mad, the thick of it, like, oh wow, Ed Miliband's in my house. Like, you know, like people were telling me, like journalists and people that know loads about politics, look, if Labour don't get in, it's gonna really be bad because independent living fund will get cut, public services are gonna get cut more than ever, it's gonna get worse for very poor people, the climate of the country's gonna become sort of mean and nasty. And now, actually, the Conservatives have won. And then there was a sort of a moment where I felt like, ah, old media doesn't have the same sort of power that it used to. People don't listen to the front pages of The Sun and The Mail. These things seem kind of ridiculous. But evidently, that is not the case. Evidently, the old media, the establishment, is a powerful thing. David Cameron is the Prime Minister of this country with more seats than before after all of the things that have been happening for the last 5 years. The result is, let's keep that guy in charge. I guess over that whole process, you sort of thought, like, oh, the Greens are trying their best. And we had that thing with Caroline Lucas, and Caroline Lucas has been elected again. But, like, they made really clear to us that the Greens can never have any meaningful power. What, the only conclusion I can draw from this is a time where, you know what, like, a lot of people want the Conservatives in power because they voted for them, and the Conservatives are now in power. People that don't want that, people that really want an alternative, whether it's a moderate alternative of a Labour government that seems a bit piecemeal and doesn't want to change things enough, or a radical and unelectable kind of Green Party, or an even more radical system that's wholly unrecognisable, where people live in tune with compassion and altruism and community and stand up to big business and stand up to the city. Whatever, wherever you fall on the line of not the Conservative but those people, the only currency we have is compassion and being nice to one another. We're going to have no shortage of meanness over the next 5 years. There's going to be meanness to the disabled. There's going to be meanness to immigrants. There's going to be meanness to the poor. So all we've got left is to be compassionate to one another and get involved in causes we care about. Like, my only regret in this is I thought that I could be involved. Like, you know, me and, like, Gareth, who I do this with, people are telling us we could make an influence, and even though it's only a sort of a small thing, it would be better if the independent living fund's not cancelled, if education's not cut, if health's not cut. I mean, I was at the doctor with my mum today, and thank God she's all right. That really sort of put things in perspective, and I thought, thank God I'm in a position where I can take care of my mother as well, because it's going to be a lot harder for people that can't. The only thing that I can look to positively is that change does happen. Syriza happened in Greece, even though they're now fighting the giants of the EU to bring about anything meaningful. Podemos look like they're gonna do something in Spain the next election. And I think there is a possibility for a new kind of politics. Not long ago, a slim majority like this, like the Tories are gonna get, would have been looked at as a disaster. Now for them, it's looked at as a huge victory. That's an indication that politics has changed in some way. What I've personally learned is, I don't understand that world, and I intuitively don't like it. My feeling is that change is going to come from us, come from ordinary people working together. So the Trues, what we're going to do is we're just going to talk to you about what we feel and sort of really step away from that stuff, you know, and stay near communities, near people that are actually doing stuff, whether it's in the issues of housing, ecological issues. We've got to find new ways of making alliances, new ways of making change, because we ain't going to get any help from the government. We're going to get screwed. For me as a wealthy person in Britain, this is all right. I'll be taxed less than I would have done probably under Labour. But for me as a human being, I'm now part of a society that has explicitly said, immigrants, poor people, NHS users, you are all in a lot of trouble. So one thing I know for certain is there's going to be no shortage of meanness. So let's not bandy it about one another. We've got to find new ways of being compassionate and new ways of making change. That's some true news. Subscribe here.
Nose is a tool that is abused to fool you and to leave you scared and confused. Trues is like the nose. If the nose was true, I want some trues. Let's have some trues.
Hello, welcome to The Trues. We're just analysing some of the madness that went on last week. It's weird when people resign from frontline politics, it's like they've unplugged themselves from the matrix and their humanity comes flooding back. Look at some of these resignations.
Thank you for your kindness, friends.
Also, try and ignore the fact that I'm clearly in an RV sat behind a steering wheel. Don't worry about that.
First of all, thank you to the British people. Thank you to the people who met me on train stations, in colleges, in workplaces, in schools.
Sounds like a drug deal. Thank you to the people who met me on train stations. That was a bloody good price for an eighth. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your stories with me. I've learnt so much from you.
Thank you, Russell Brand, for fucking up the election by getting me to come round your house.
Thank you for the selfies. Thank you for the support. And thank you for the most unlikely cult of the 21st century, Millie fandom.
Oh, he looks genuinely sort of relieved. It's not fair. I think it's this really unpleasant world where it's accepted that it's kind of a facsimile of reality, not reality itself. A simulacrum, if you will, my new favourite word. Where, so that when, once again, Ed Miliband's authentic, it's like a tremendous sort of relief to see someone unburdened from the layers of artifice required to pose as a person in power. That you have to, like, when they were saying stuff like, we would never do a deal with the SNP, we would never do a deal with the SNP, you know that they would do a deal with the SNP, but they're not allowed to say that they'd do a deal with the SNP. The whole thing becomes about artifice and nonsense.
Second, I want to address those who voted Labour yesterday.
Thank you, and thank you. That's done.
Today you will feel disappointed, even bleak. But while we may have lost the election, the argument of our campaign will not go away. The issue of our unequal country will not go away.
I mean, if you took that issue on Ed first, then perhaps you'd have been bloody electable. It seems like the SNP had the success they did because they had an identifiable story. They said, like, we stand for Scotland, we stand for anti-austerity, we stand for genuine change. And it seems in retrospect, I mean, Tony Blair is saying, like, you know, Labour needs to go back to its old new Labour ways, its old new ways. But that really, that is so revealing because it shows you that actually all that matters is winning. Election is just the World Cup of politics. It's a really sort of, for me, I think, and for a lot of people, an odd, dispiriting revelation of the spectacle of an election, the spectacle of choice, not the reality of a choice. And what we see when they resign in this manner is the revelation of their true self, and we reconnect with them, because up until then, they're like these sort of phantoms spouting nonsense, so you can't really contact them.
The Liberal Democrats are a family.
Nick Clegg's interesting, because I've met him also, and he feels like a sort of, like, I don't know, sort of like some nice deputy headmaster or some sort of friend's dad that's actually quite a nice chap. And I think that this really is like the orgasm of the latent grief that he's been feeling for half a decade.
It is simply heartbreaking to see so many friends and colleagues who have served their constituents so diligently over so many years abruptly lose their seats because of forces entirely beyond their control.
Forces entirely beyond their control. I don't know whether that's incredibly revealing or just sort of nonsense. If, like, the whole thing is beyond your control, if there is nothing you can do when you are in government, if promises you make, pledges you make, have no resultant impact, then, yeah, then those forces are beyond your control. I read a book the other day that said that all that any politician can ever say is, I'll do my best! That's it. Any promise beyond I'll do my best is meaningless, because they can't tell you what they're going to encounter. They can't tell you what's the sort of the administrative tangle they're entering into. And like we said before, what this election revealed to me is the power of the establishment, this murky, indetectable, invisible force that's everywhere. We only see when the craters erupt through the Daily Mail or through the Sun or through the kettling at some riot. But that's there all the time. The establishment is this omnipotent thing preserving the status quo.
It is, of course, too early to give a considered account of why we have suffered the catastrophic losses we have, and the party will have to reflect on these in the time ahead.
So the slow humanisation of Nick Clegg even involves sort of like coughing. Oh, excuse me, sorry about that. Oh, forgive me. Oh, what's the point?
Liberalism here, as well as across Europe, is not faring well against the politics of fear. Years of remorseless economic and social hardship following the crash in 2008 and the grinding insecurities of globalisation have led people to reach for new certainties. The politics of identity, of nationalism, of us versus them, is now on the rise.
Again, it's like a man who's cracked out of a shell of apparent authority. I mean, he could have been saying the whole time he's in government, this is bollocks, we're not doing anything, this is mental, every time I try and get something done, I can't. I would have loved to have done the tuition fees thing, but we had to for this deal. Really trying my best. Excuse me, I've got a sore throat. I'm pissed off at that posh geezer. But, like, really, you can't do it until it's meaningless. That's what it allows. The truth can only exist once it has no value or impact.
I hope that our leaders across the United Kingdom realise the disastrous consequences for our way of life and the integrity of the United Kingdom if they continue to appeal to grievance rather than generosity and fear rather than hope.
In a way, though, it's already done. It's already happened. It's retrospective. The failure of UKIP to win seats, for example, is meaningless if the UKIP become a kind of UKIP incorporative conservative party. And what Nick Clegg's saying, while it's true, it's a fait accompli. These things have already occurred. Liberalism is already defeated. If to become a liberal in government you have to relinquish your liberalism, then what are you? Not a liberal.
Well, yes, there's a bit of me that's disappointed. There's a bit of me this morning that's happier than I've felt for many, many years.
And then this man, whose apparent humanity was what helped him to sail through a campaign that was at least cinematic. The thing is about extremism is it makes better telly than liberalism or moderate views. It's interesting to see this fella over here, even now, still with the backdrop of the White Cliffs of Dover, with one of the literal agents out of the Matrix working for me.
I intend to take the summer off, enjoy myself a little bit, not do very much politics at all.
What photograph is that guy getting from behind Nigel Farage's head? Well, I better get that. Back of Nigel Farage's head.
The government I led did important work. It laid the foundations for a better future, and now we must build on them.
This is when I realised, with a kind of yawning, dawning horror, the meaninglessness of the spectacle of politics, because everything David Cameron says, if it were true, would be incredible. He talks about looking after children, people working hard, becoming successful, making this country work for everyone that's in it. But we all accept that it's bollocks. We all just accept that a person will win an election, stand in front of number 10, talk a load of bollocks, and we don't go, hey, mate, outside number 10, you said all this thing about, like, not stripping the country, and then in reality, you're actually doing these things. We just go, oh, yeah, no, he's a politician. We know that everything he says is not true. We don't expect truth. What do we expect? No, it really is. I think an election is more like a festival than any kind of democratic process. It's about the apparent expression of free will. It's about the apparition of power. Nothing actually is exerted. Nothing will change. Nothing can change. And the result of, like, you know, the ones that lose express a sort of sudden bit of humanity. The glaze lifts from their eyes. And the winner continues with the facade. The winner has to maintain the illusion. Only the losers are free to once again communicate as human beings. For the victor, the illusion has to continue. Unfortunately, that is some true news. Subscribe here.
A tool that is abused to fool you and to leave you scared and confused. Truths is like the news. If the news was true, I want some truths. Let's have some truths.
Welcome to part two of True Analysis, where we analyse the madness of the general election. How come, once the leaders are displaced, they can return to humanity? And what exactly is David Cameron going to say to us? And is there any of it that we can take remotely seriously?
The government I led did important work.
There was a wonderful bit before it where I thought this guy had won the election. So I thought, oh, good, we haven't seen him yet. He looks all right. I think everything's going to be okay. But of course, it was just because with rolling 24-hour news, an empty podium has to be filmed for a little while, and that man was the practice podium filler.
It laid the foundations for a better future, and now we must build on them.
Like, when you watch that, don't you sort of think, like, what? I live here.
I truly believe we're on the brink of something special in our country.
I hope what we're on the brink of is a new kind of post-politics where people pull away, create alternative systems that are not dependent upon the establishment.
We can make Britain a place where a good life is in reach for everyone who is willing to work and do the right thing.
I mean, if that were true, imagine. I'm willing to work and I'm willing to do the right thing. Well, both of those things are subjective. The first one's impossible, and do the right thing. Is it the right thing to cut benefits for the poorest people in the world? Under some circumstances, that is the right thing to do. Is it the right thing to blame immigrants and the vulnerable while bankers and the wealthy continue to get richer and richer? Yes, yes it is. Oh, right, so what you're saying is true if you look at it through a solipsistic lens of meanness. That's exactly correct.
Our manifesto is a manifesto for working people. And as a majority government, we will be able to deliver all of it.
Well, he's right to a point, because 12 billion of cuts are happening to the welfare system. So if you ain't working, you're fucked. You're not in their manifesto. Unemployment will continue to fall because poor people are forced into unfair and inadequate zero-hour contracts. Brilliant. The number of food banks will continue to rise because of spiralling poverty. Thanks for that. Inequality will increase because of tax breaks for the rich. Continuing privatisation of our health and education systems, great news there. Cuts will continue to fall heavily on local councils and public services like the police, fire and prison services, which are already stretched and continually being privatised. The Human Rights Act will be scrapped. Luckily, that only affects people you know that are humans. TTIP will hand over swathes of national sovereignty to multinational corporations. So for all their anti-European rhetoric, they're going to hand power over through the TTIP, watch out for that, to big corporations. So there's the manifesto. So I hope to God you're a working person, because if you ain't, you're about to become an extremely poor person.
Indeed, it is the reason why I think majority government is more accountable. 3 million apprenticeships. More help with childcare.
And now we're back to the sort of politics as we understand it. A bloke just saying stuff that has no relationship to reality. Better than ever. Wonderful. Daisies growing on a lawn. Sunshine. Rainbows. Cute little black boy perched on the lap of a white lady. She offers him a biscuit. He takes it. That's the Britain I want to see. I'm pumped.
Helping 30 million people cope with the cost of living by cutting their taxes.
The duplicity of the victor once again bears down to assert a manifesto which will continue to persecute the poor and to celebrate and alleviate and elevate and exalt the rich.
We must ensure that we bring our country together. As I said in the small hours of this morning, we will govern as a party of one nation, one United Kingdom.
Yeah, it is one United Nation, one United Kingdom. It's the one he lives in. It's the one that's fine for them. For the people he's talking to, this stuff is true. That's what's terrifying. Yes, chills.
That means ensuring this recovery reaches all parts of our country, from north to south, from east to west.
Name points on a compass as part of your job.
It means giving everyone in our country a chance. So no matter where you're from, you have the opportunity to make the most of your life.
What? No matter where you're from? Yes, it doesn't matter if you went to Eton, Harrow, or even possibly Rugby. Things could be fantastic for you. Oh no, not if you're black or Muslim.
It means giving the poorest people the chance of training, a job, and hope for the future.
I hope there is a future. There isn't one.
It means that for children who don't get the best start in life, there must be the nursery education and good schooling that can transform their life chances.
How can you even talk about best start in life? It's just fired out of a vagina into a top hat.
Together, we can make Great Britain greater still.
Greater still? Or is it actually a bit shit? That's some true news. Subscribe here. It's literally the only chance you have of any possible way out of this hell. No.
news is a tool that is abused to fool you and to leave you scared and confused. Truths is like the news. If the news was true, I want some truths. Let's have some truths.
Hello, welcome to The Truths. I'm Russell. We're going to respond to some of the numerous comments you've said, except for the ones that are about voting, not voting, voting Labour, vote Conservative, all those voting-related things. For those, I refer you to previous episodes of The Truths where I've thoroughly answered those questions. First one, Chikolita 2. Hey, Russell, one of my friends saw you around Vancouver in Canada. Maybe it's none of my business, but what you doing around our great country? I'm doing a film with Nicolas Cage. Have a look at this photo. There you go, there's my chair sitting next to his chair. Our chairs have got names. Scott Phillips, I don't know how I survived 4 days without a new Truths video. I know, it's hard, isn't it? But like, if you look at the news cycle, like one of the things about that election is you recognise, oh my God, it's going on forever. We could do Truths on human rights. We could do Truths on Michael Gove being the new Minister of Justice. It's like sarcastic appointments now, isn't it? Fletch boy in the house. Guess what, Rusty? Nigel's back. What's that, Nigel Farage is back in charge now. He just resigned for 2 days. Doesn't matter, does it? He's just resigned from something that doesn't have any meaning now. What's more important is that that mentality has been incorporated into the national psyche and is now part of mainstream politics. In a way, Nigel Farage was just like a sort of a extreme nationalist hen laying an egg of toxicity into the mind of the Conservative mainstream, and that's now hatched into Michael Gove, Justice Minister. Now there's a metaphor. Johnny Anonymous. Thousands marched in London on the weekend, yet the BBC only managed a 15-second clip with no narration or interviews. BBC declined to appear on Newswatch to defend themselves, yet when a dress is created, there appears either blue, gold or black to people. We get all-day coverage of graphs, countless interviews with public, etc. Where can protesters buy these dresses? As you know, Johnny Anonymous, there is no mileage for institutions that benefit from things being the way they are in reporting on the huge appetite for change, particularly now at this time where there has been an election where the Conservatives have been returned to Parliament with a majority. An argument you could make is, but how can people make a reasonable decision when fear-based media fills our heads with propaganda so that we're bewildered? Think about when you're frightened in your own life, you make crap decisions, don't you? Or when your head is full of desire, you make crap decisions. You can make those arguments all day long. Don't expect mainstream news, mainstream media, mainstream corporations, mainstream politics to do anything really other than maintain their interests. You may get incremental changes here and there when they become irresistible, but to expect more than that is ridiculous. I mean, in a way, instead of doing those marches, just go and occupy land, sort of set up alternative agriculture, alternative economies, alternative, 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 alternative. You're going to get nothing from the mainstream. Michaela Santos. Oh, we need a vagina in the White House. Men had created too many wars. Time for peace. Hillary 2016. Well, the problem is when the last Clinton was in power, there are a few too many vaginas in the White House. But I do agree, broadly, that femininity ought be elevated to the top of power pyramids, you know, as part of the structure of making more lateral power. So, I mean, you know, fair enough. But I don't think it's gonna make that much difference, mate. Dipshaw, 1984. Please, let's go back to more nomadic raw living, where fishermen fished to feed and eat and only took a small amount. This way of life worked for many generations. It's our arrogance when we look down at such people in this money-driven society. Very sad. I agree with you. Have a more direct relationship with our own nature and nature in general. Everything has become like a facsimile of reality. That's what I feel when I'm in an airport. I feel like, what is this experience designed to be neutered and anodyne products advertised? I don't understand what they are. There's something called Accenture advertised all over Heathrow. Don't know what it means. Accenture, powering your dynamic.
Accenture, high performance delivered.
Adding dynamism to your power. Accenture. All right, I'll take two, please. Like, the everything, like, outside the hotel window where I'm staying, there's an inaccessible garden with benches on it and plants. The benches can never be sat on because you can't access the garden because there's no door to get to the garden. It's a pretend garden. Everything in our reality, the experience of being alive, is becoming slowly stripped of truthful integration. You can't just look into someone's eyes and go, "Hello, what's it like being you? Are you all right in there?"
Sir, you better stop looking at me and shouting at me in that intense way.
I'll have a coffee. Inner flap. Sick. Venal. Someday a real rain will come and wash all this scum off the streets. Travis Bickle, the protagonist or antagonist anti-hero from the film Taxi Driver, made such a wish, in a way preempting the nihilistic terrorism that was to come decades later, sort of the idea of lone gunmen and lone cells, and that in our the enemy within, in our midst, are enemies who deplore us and our ways, our consumerist ways. But now, none of it. Who are the people in Britain or Canada or America? Like, this works for me. This is working for me. When you have an ideology that's stripped of reality, when you have prime ministers and presidents blindly espousing meaningless stuff that has no connection to their hearts or their true feelings, like, who are the people that can connect to it? Who are the people that watch Obama or David Cameron or Stephen Harper and go, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, this guy really speaks to me. These are strange times. Edmond Dantes. A complete reformation of the education system is at the heart of change. At present, it is set up to produce stagnant citizens rather than inspired individuals. We regress our children through a system developed by the Prussians, adopted by Nazi Germany, and now well established in the US and UK. Kindergarten was developed by the Prussians to produce an obedient, loyal citizens that know their place and perform their role accordingly. Standardised learning has to go. Let's start teaching them some truths. Throughout here, throughout this comments page, you get the idea of the kind of society people want. It's a kind of more natural, tribal, integrated society that doesn't neglect or reject or ignore our new technologies and communicative tools, but doesn't neglect and ignore our indigenous nature. Any baby born now and transported back 100 years, 200 years would adapt. We're not that different. We're the same from an evolutionary perspective. And you know, like, the way now that, like, people are realising, it's like, oh, new report. Guess what? If you just ate organic natural food that didn't have pesticides on it, that was grown near where you're standing and grew at the time that you're eating it in, seasonal foods grown locally, you'll be much healthier. Oh, what you mean? We might as well have just left things how they were instead of creating a massive monoculture that was beneficial to transnational corporations. Yeah, that's it, yeah. If you just had left things as they were. Now, you can't go sort of swooping back in time like that little baby. You are going to have to accept that progress has happened and created many wonderful things through medicine and technology. But what we've allowed it to do is, because it was developed through capitalism, we've allowed it to detach us from the things that are essential to our nature. So we're living in a plastic time. We're living behind a veneer. So when people do something natural or real, it seems peculiar or odd. Sometimes I want to just roam in the woods and fuck a warthog just to feel reality on me. Sink my hands into the soil and feel the earth spread soil on my body. Give me something real. Give me something real. Oh, do you want sugar with that, sir? Would you like another latte? Give me reality. Give me truth. Give me true news. Subscribe here. Hello, welcome to The Trues. I'm Russell Brand. I host The Trues. Today I'm in Canada, one of the former colonies, a Commonwealth nation where you'll still find our Queen on their plastic money. We're going to talk about the royal family today because of the famous, disappointingly, boringly, excitingly named Black Spider Letters. What's in the Black Spider Letters from Prince Charles? What, is it a secret elite of arachnoid men that transform into spiders? Is it the web of power reaches out across all of humanity and controls us all, and he's like a black widow at the centre? No, he's just got shit handwriting. Okay, here are some truths.
Over the years, the Black Spider Memos have developed an air of mystery, so called because of Prince Charles's sprawling handwriting. A fierce legal battle has surrounded the 27 letters. 10 years ago, Rob Evans put in the first request. He never expected it would end up at the Supreme Court.
So in a time period that has encompassed different flavoured governments, red flavour, blue flavour, there has been a minor conspiracy to protect Prince Charles and the royal family and the establishment. It's continually said, of course, that the royals have no real power, but even that is a demonstration of power, and apparently these letters got treated as an absolute priority. And what we're looking for post the election debacle is evidence that demonstrates that regardless of what happens in electoral politics, there is an invisible thread, like a black spider's web, as it were, that runs through the heart of the establishment.
There's a lot of talk about what, and speculation about what Prince Charles writes to the government about. And I just think that actually we should see those letters and be able to make up our own minds.
I think it's funny that letters from Prince Charles getting suppressed, I mean, the very act of suppression, like the fact that there are top secret things, the fact there are files, well, you've got to wait 50 years to see those files. Why? Well, if you saw them, you'd be so pissed off you wouldn't cooperate. Should we start not cooperating now then? No, why don't you see the letters?
Prince Charles isn't shy about sharing his views, but there are those who believe his campaigning goes too far when he should be politically neutral.
Ah, I feel for him a bit, because he's a person and everything. But what he also is, by the accident of the particular vagina that he was coughed out of, is an establishment figurehead. And regardless of the content of the letter or the subject of these letters, which we'll soon discover are sort of pretty, well, not trivial things, but certainly not protect the interests of the wealthy, protect the interests of the powerful, that is implicit. The interests of the powerful are safe. He don't need to campaign. No one's, even as a result of, like, you know, these letters being revealed, no one's saying, shall we get rid of the monarchy? Shall we strip their assets and use them for the benefit of the nation? Instead of having a symbol that suggests that we are one nation, let's have policies that suggest we are one nation.
At least seven government departments received the notes. Paul Richards was a special advisor to a number of MPs.
It was treated as though it had come down from the mountainside and was treated like Holy Writ, taken straight into the private office of the minister, put on top of the pile.
I mean, I guess that's standard. You wouldn't put things at the bottom of a pile. That'd be a whole weird system. But you should flip the pile so the oldest... I mean, I don't want to get into the admin of it.
Here in the National Archives, they have copies of some that were sent to Harold Wilson in 1969 and 1970 while he was in power. In them, Prince Charles talks about the issue of salmon fishing and quotas. There are some tongue-in-cheek comments. For example, he says, I shall attack you on the subject again.
That's not a tongue-in-cheek comment. That's just something with an exclamation mark after it. He's interested in weird stuff, isn't he? Well, not weird stuff. The sort of stuff I suppose you'd think a person who's lived their whole life in castles would feel, what the hell's going on with the salmon? Well, I don't know, but the NHS has just been slashed to ribbons. What's an interests?
Whatever they say, they hold a wider significance, representing that uneasy balance between a prince's privacy and the public's right to scrutinise the man who's preparing to be king.
I feel sorry for him because I think it's an antiquated role, it's an antiquated position, it's an antiquated means of communication, spirally inky letters. But the establishment is about tradition and antiquity. It's only preserved because it's supposed to be there. We've had a royal family for so long, it's on our money, we're constantly reminded. You think those things are stupid, don't you? I think those things are stupid. But they are incessant, constant reminders that we live within a hierarchy. And after the recent election, what I once or momentarily fleetingly regarded as a possibility for minor change for the poorest and most vulnerable people, I now see as an indefatigable force that is sort of draped under sort of a doily of tradition and antiquity, but is actually extremely powerful. It shows you the immovable nature of the establishment. When something important happens, like Scotland wants independence, Labour and Conservatives become one. When the Chilcot report comes out about misadventure and misbehaving in Iraq, Labour and Conservatives become one. When it comes to protecting establishment figures and icons of the power structure of our country, Labour and Conservatives become one. The elected establishment has acted to protect the royal family. You're not even allowed to get within touching distance, even if it's about issues that aren't in themselves that contentious, because there is a certain immovable nucleus of power that we're not even allowed to discuss, that is not contacted or impacted through electoral politics, that is not in any way impacted through our will. And the only way it could be impacted, changed or altered is through wholesale, radical, grassroots, bottom-up change. True news, subscribe here.